Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Andrew P. Shea. Andy, how are we doing?
Doing good, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm very good. You know what, Andy? We got a theme to today's show, and a cynic might call this our pessimist show. Some may even say I'm geared for this.
I think you're made for a little bit of this. I'm going to help you along, Jimmy. I mean, it's football season now, after all. You know, Penn State has started fall camp, practice is underway. It's football season. It's August. It's time to be pessimistic. It's time to be optimistic. It's time to drill down, and we're going to do it today.
Yes, we are. And we're going to get a little bit, we're going to touch on the pessimistic side, Andy. I'm calling this our concerns for the season. What are our concerns? And I guess we don't have to be totally pessimistic about it, because you're going to give me your level of concern on different issues. And hopefully you're not too concerned. So are you ready to roll?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Jimmy, I'm fully ready to go. I'm locked and loaded. I am ready.
All right. Let's start with this, Andy. New coordinators abound. Offense, defense, special teams. Very different circumstances to create those openings, especially offensively and defensively. On offense, you had a guy who was fired. You brought somebody else in.
Yeah.
On defense, you had a guy, Manny Diaz, who, you know, I love me Manny Diaz, right? You know that.
I told you that when they hired him. I'm like, Jimmy, get ready, Penn State fans. You're not going to have him long, but you are going to love this guy because he is a mad scientist magician as a coordinator. I said, I think he's one of the two or three best in the country. And look what he did. He's simply fantastic. So, yeah.
So now we've got them both replaced. Yep. Andy Kotelnicki comes in on offense. Tom Allen comes in on defense. Andy, I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic about both of them. But even if you feel really good about both of them, there still is just the concern of a changeover. What do you think?
So I'm going to do each one of the new coordinators. I'm not doing the special teams coordinator, Jimmy. Sorry, special teams fans. I'm going to piss you off. Sorry, but I'm going to start on offense, and I'm going to start with Andy, the other Andy. Did you catch that?
I did.
He's got some weapons, right? And he's got some horsepower in this offense, right? And he's got a seasoned and talented starting quarterback. He's got a couple NFL running backs. He's got an NFL tight end. He might have two NFL tight ends. There will be a little up and down, a little bob and weave with some question marks on the offensive line with four new full-time starters. And, of course, then there's the wide receiver position, right? That's the elephant in the room. We're just going to say, what's the elephant in the offensive room? Wide receiver position for Andy. So he still has plenty of ingredients in the kitchen. My question is, what's he going to cook? So my level of concern for Andy as the offensive coordinator is a 2. And as much as they said, and they're like, we're going to try and keep it, you know, as much as possible the same. And we're going to try and, you know, do as much of the kind of the same stuff as we did maybe, but just with a little bit of Andy spit. This is new. That's all smoke and mirrors. This will be a new kind of offense. That's why my concerns are 2.
What's your scale? It's a 2 out of?
It's 1 to 5. One okay. Means none, very little. 5 means there's a major concern here.
Well, I feel pretty good about Andy Kotelnicki coming in, but I appreciate that you brought up the – James Franklin often does this. He has certain talking points, and one of them is, it's not a complete changeover on the offense. It's not. And I'm not sure why he feels so obligated to say that. If I were cynical, I might say something, he's afraid if things work too well, Andy Kotelnicki will get all the credit, as opposed to, hey, this is the offense we've been running, essentially, with some tweaks. But I think bringing in, there was an issue with the last guy. There was a problem, and it showed on the field. But the fact that James let him go in season, which is something he's never done before,
correct,
it really points at the coordinator. And I think making a change was necessary. I like what I've seen of Andy Kotelnicki, what he did at Kansas and prior. So I feel pretty good about that one, Andy. How about on the other side with Tom Allen?
So former Indiana head coach, James going back to the well, right? Solid defensive coach. He's still going to be the cheerleader, and it's going to annoy the crap out of me and drive me bonkers, but that's just who he is. Like, he just annoys me because his cheerleading is, like, over the top, and it's like, quit showing him on camera. So, look, despite all the players who departed this defense for the NFL, the cupboard is still stacked, Jimmy. It is still stocked and stacked. So, I think what I talk about when I think of Tom Allen and coordinating this defense, it's just keep it simple, get out of the way, let the talent shine, and just let these thoroughbreds run. It's pretty simple formula in my estimation. He won't be Manny Diaz. Manny is a rare breed. We just talked about that. He's sort of in the Joe Moorhead as an offensive coordinator when he was at Penn State. That's what Manny is as a defensive coordinator. He's a GOAT coordinator, in my opinion. But I think Allen has something to prove to Penn State fans and to James Franklin, in my opinion, as a coordinator. So to me, this still feels like, with the talent and the composition and what they have, this still feels like they have all the right stuff to be a top 10 defense in the nation. Remember, they were the number 2 overall defense in the country last year. So again, he's a new coordinator. Former head coach, worked before. It's just a 2, Jimmy. That's it. I think Tom has some defensive chops. I really do. But I think if he tries to get too muddled in and gets his hands too sticky in the honey pot, get out of the way, because you've got some thoroughbreds.
You know, Andy, there's a lot that you said that I agree with, but I got to point out where we differ. A couple things. Well, first of all, the enthusiasm stuff, I love it.
I
love it. You know what? Give it. It's coaching. It's sports. It's football. And more importantly, I think the players like it. I think it creates a certain atmosphere that I like. But more importantly, you talk about him just getting out of the way. I don't agree with that part of it. I think he was able to do some special things with a lot less talent with Indiana. I'm curious to see what he could do with the talent that he has here. I don't think this is just roll the ball out there and let him go play. That's not what Manny Diaz did. And I'm not saying he has to do it like Manny Diaz the same way, but I think we will see some interesting, fun things from him. And I'm looking forward to seeing that, Andy, and seeing what he could do with much more talent. Now, the other part to this is, I think we both have a pretty lot of confidence in both these coordinators, and in the long run, feel that they're going to do just fine. How about this, though, Andy? You're not going to start your season with a directional school, okay? You're not playing Podunk for your first game. You're going on the road. You're playing a Power 4 team in West Virginia, a West Virginia team that finished last season very well and is going to be come into this game pretty confident and feeling pretty good about themselves. What do you think of that? All both sides of the ball, you're changing coordinators for that first game.
I think it will show up more to me for Andy as the offensive coordinator, maybe just a little bit. Look, Tom Allen's been around the block, Jimmy. That game won't be squad douche to him. And I don't think it's going to have an impact on Andy either, per se. I have no concern about two new coordinators, because it's not like one of them's a new jack or a greenhorn, or he's been like a coordinator for one or two seasons and he's a fast riser and now he's Penn State. I think these guys both have enough salt and pepper behind the ears, particularly Tom Allen. I don't see any problem with that. I really don't.
Did you just say that they both have enough salt and pepper behind the ears?
They do, yes.
Andy, I have no clue what that means.
That means they, you know, salt and pepper. They got a little gray, a little bit of seasoning, a little, you know, a bit of the good stuff behind the ears. You know, don't worry about it. They got enough of what they need. They got enough of the right stuff, a little salt and pepper on top of it. Yum.
Okay, now I got it. All right. Let's go to the next issue. Andy, they're going to be bringing out a new kicker this year. They have a kicking competition going on. I know last year they had a starter for the first game, missed a couple field goals. They went to Alex Falcons, who did a good job the rest of the season. Concern you at all?
So what your question was, Jimmy, was new kicker can lose a game, right? Like you're worried about, that's your concern. I will flip that on you and say new kicker can also win you a game, Jimmy. See how I flipped that glass half empty and filled it up for you? I
yes, filled you up
the
did. Glass
for the lifelong Penn State fan. Look, do they have a tried and true known kicker? No. Here's the thing. It's a kicker, but make 9 out of 10 of your kicks from 42 yards and in, right? That's just do that. Make the simple stuff simple. Make 9 out of 10 at least of your kicks 42, 43, maybe even 45 yards and in. And be solid on your, you know, on your extra points. I'm a zero on this one, Jimmy. Rating was 1 to 5, but this one is a zero for me because I'm like, it's not because it's the kicker. It's because they haven't shown to have a kicker problem. So I know they have a new special teams coordinator. Find somebody that can make, like I said, 9 out of 10 field goals that you should make. Be solid on your extra points. If he's missing 53 yarders, okay, you don't kick it from 53 or 54 or 55. Fine.
Okay, Andrew P. Shea on kickers. You know what? Worrying about kickers is probably a waste of time, especially in a new season. You don't know what you're going to get. I just hope that very first game, Andy, it doesn't come down to a kick at the end of the game needed to win the game. That's my one concern. Combine everything, you know, new coordinators, new kicker, something crazy going on. That's it for quarter number one, Andy. We got a lot more to go when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim. He's Andy. It's quarter number two of our show. The theme of this show, what are our concerns going into the season? I'm throwing out some things for Andy. He gives us his level of concern. So far, we talked about the coordinators. We talked about a new kicker. We talked about going to West Virginia on the road to open the game, open the season, Andy. And are you any concerned about that?
Yeah, so I disregard, you know, with the new coordinators, I sort of disregarded your rider that you attached to it, West Virginia on the road in the opener. With the new coordinators, I sort of deleted that from my equation. So, sorry about that, Jimmy. But I see it as a tough game, right? I think here's why. West Virginia believes they are better equipped to play Penn State than they were a year ago. That's actually true. That's pretty accurate. And they are at home, and both teams are 0-0. So there's no, like, battlefield either momentum or any battlefield scars attached as riders to this game, right? Here's what I'll say. yes, you should be concerned, because I do think West Virginia is better equipped to compete in this game. But Penn State still has more talent, and that matters. Just can they make it so, right? It's a 2 for me on my scale. It's a tough opener based on circumstances, but when you have more talent, a decisive bump in more talent, I might add, that shows up in big games, and it should show up here. And that's why Penn State should win this football game. But it is not a, you know, it is not a game to take lightly in any way, shape, or form, mostly because of the circumstances. So nothing to do with the coordinators, simply the game, the timing, and the location.
I think if you combine the game, where they're playing, the fact that it's an opener, and you've got new coordinators, is everything buckled up? I'm a believer in James Franklin's ability to prepare, plan, and I think the changing over the new coordinators, I think it's been well planned out. I think they'll be okay, but you combine it all, I'm a fan, so I'm going to be concerned. Let's move on, Andy. In fact, this was the one issue. We put our heads together to put these together, and this one was yours. And you asked, does the quarterback take the step forward? But I'm going to add a little addendum to it. On the end, I'm going to say, does the quarterback take a step forward in the big games?
So good for you, Jimmy. I'm going to disregard your big game thing again. And I'm going to explain to you why. It is part of the equation. It's the first ask that Penn State fans should and identify when they're talking about. But does the quarterback take a step forward? This is a concern for me, right? And I'm going to say this. It's not about showing up in big games only, Jimmy, that it's why it's a concern. In fact, it might be more about the other stuff in terms of his development than it is about the big games. As I look at, is he taking a step forward, right? Can he guide this offense with command and control as a QB1? That's something he didn't have the full maturity to execute last year. It's inside him, right? You can see it. And I fully expect that to be the case in 2024. Hey, he ended 2023 with a confidence and a lack of a confidence problem and a lack of trust in his wide receivers problem. The second part has nothing to do with him. The first part is all him. He was a very, very, very obviously hard quarterback on himself. It was impacting the way he played. Again, that's all part of the next level as a QB1 in terms of maturity. And that has nothing to do with arm talent, reading defenses, and all the football jargon stuff you want to throw out there. My concern right now, my scale is a 3. And my 3 is not based on big game performance. The other stuff, all that other stuff that I talked about, in my opinion, helps the big games take care of themselves a little better. I still fully believe he's an NFL caliber quarterback, Jimmy. I stand on that boulder. He's a very talented, good quarterback. The step forward is going to come in the devil in the details, and the big stuff will take care of itself.
I'd like to think you're right on that, Andy, but it's still, and maybe it's cherry picking, but if you look at those statistics in the big games.
Abhorrent. Just dreadful.
It really is, and it makes you wonder, you know, and I don't think it's that he chokes in the big games.
Nope.
But does he have the ability to overcome the issues where you're up against better talent? For a change. And, you know, I'll use this, Andy, as my segue to the elephant in the room. You made reference to it. It's the wide receivers. You know, how much of his struggles in the big games can be placed on the wide receivers? And just in general, the issues at wide receivers, they did a lot of changing. A lot of guys left the room.
Yep.
At the top of the room, Keandre Lambert-Smith, he moved on. You bring in Julian Fleming from Ohio State. Andy, how concerned are you about the wide receivers?
It's five, Jimmy. I'm just going to start by giving you the number. It's a five. And the way I look at it is you've got to show me the money. Until then, and that's show me on the field on a Saturday when it matters. Until then, they stay a five to me. I have some very, 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 very cautious hints of optimism. Very cautious hints of optimism. But the bar is really low, though. So the chance for success exists. But after the last 2 years, Jimmy, I got to see it on Saturdays before I think anything less than dumpster fire when I think about the wide receiver position right now at Penn State. That's it. It's pretty simple. It's a five, and it's a dumpster fire until I see otherwise.
Andy, I think it's going to be better. I'm not quite as critical as you. However, I do like the they got to show us something.
Yeah.
This feels like where the offensive line was a couple years ago.
Amen.
And James Franklin even, I remember, there were a year or 2 years ago at the Big Ten meetings, he's like, look, folks, I say it every year, so I'm not going to say it this year. I feel better about the offensive line. Well, this is one where I feel the same way. I think there's a lot of reasons to be more optimistic about them. I think Andy Kotelnicki will help. I think the fact that they cleared a lot of people out of that room, I think that's a help. I think some of these guys with a new offensive coordinator will feel like it's a fresh start. I also think that, you know, they need to find that top guy. I think Trey Wallace has all the skill set to do that, to be that top guy. For him, I think it's just a question of health. And then I think everybody else could fall in underneath him. I think there's reasons for that optimism, Andy. I still want to see it.
Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right. I do have, like I said, Jimmy, I have some very, very, very cautious optimism. I think Julian Fleming is a wide receiver one in a leadership, in a way he goes about his business. He's a true pro. Is he going to be the guy that changes the conversation about Penn State's wide receivers? No, he's not that kind of receiver. He's not that kind of dynamic receiver. But he has so many elements of the wide receiver one, and I think he's shouldering some of the I will take responsibility for this and follow me and watch what I do, and then you might be have a chance to be better. I agree with you. The complete wild card in the wide receiver position is Trey. It's about Wallace. Wallace has the talent. Wallace is a game breaker. Wallace has shown to have a good rapport with the quarterback in a limited basis, but it was a very good rapport on a limited basis. He has health issues. He couldn't stay on the field. He stays on the field. I feel a little bit better about Penn State solving some of its wide receiver problems. No Trey Wallace, battles injuries again. Penn State's got a problem.
I agree. Not to put everything on him, but
no, he's got the most potential.
Yeah, that's where it starts, and that's where it has to start. There has to be that go-to receiver. I also appreciate the conversation about Julian Fleming, about what he is and what he is not.
Yeah.
He is not this special first-round pick kind of wide receiver.
No. Nope.
If you're still living in that, you know, 4 years ago when he was like one of the top, very top players coming out in the country, that's not who he is. But what I'm wondering about, Andy, the value for a receiver. Remember last year there were a couple games, one of the backups who is no longer here, it's a third down, easy completion, bounces off his chest. Twice this happened.
A couple of those. Yeah. There was two or three of those that I saw. Right.
And that is a, you know, on a third down, a third and five, and you make a drop like that, you lose a possession. You only have so many possessions in a game. And when you give them up as a freebie like that, that's where I think Julian Fleming comes into play, where on that third and five, I'm not looking at him as the guy who's going to get that 50-yard reception. I'm looking at him as that reliable guy when it's third and five. I know where he's going to be as a quarterback. He'll be where he's supposed to be, and he'll catch the ball.
Yeah. Julian Fleming could solve that. That's a little bit, to me, that's a little bit of a, so the jaded example that you gave, and I only call it jaded because they were so far below anything that you would have as an expectation last year that those were magnified. Like those two or three drops become, they're going to happen, right? But if you're contributing even a little bit, you're like, all right, well, he dropped the pass. But they had no margin for error last year because they were so, you know, the gap between being able to contribute and the dumpster fire that was the wide receivers last year, it was a mile. So every little thing got magnified. I do agree. Julian Fleming inside 12 yards, right? Line of scrimmage, 12 yards, Julian Fleming. Watch him work it. Very, very, very good at his craft. He's a pro, and he plays like a pro, and he blocks like a pro, and he practices like a pro. You're going to see the results of that on Saturdays, but he is not the guy that's going to fix the problem at the wide receiver position. We both agree on that.
Yes, there's a whole lot more that needs to be done. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter two. When we come back, it's Ask Andy and your questions. Stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. We all know what that means. It's time to ask Andy. This is where we take your questions for Andy. He gives you a great answer. And when he's wrong, I let him know he's wrong. If you want to send a question to Andy also, very easy. Just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button, and there you go. You ready?
I'm ready, Jimmy. Let's go. I want to hear from the listeners.
All right. Let's start with Rob from Burbank, who says, Do you think that Penn State can produce Olympic, World Cup, etc., class of athletes contributes to football recruiting? I always get a twinge of Penn State proud whenever an announcer name checks the university. I can't help but think it has to be part of the pitch for recruiting.
Huh. I never looked at pitching it that way. I do know that the NFL numbers, the NFL talent, that's more relevant. That's going to be more relevant, right? Like, Rob, you're right. You should be proud. Like, you know, when you get an Olympian or, a U.S. women's national team player from Penn State, which I think they have a couple of them now that are in the Olympics on the U.S. women's national team that's going for a gold medal. But, yes, you should as a fan. But I think it's more the sort of the NFL guys and the path they're creating and the relationships they retain with the university and that kind of stuff. I think that all matters more on the football recruiting trail. It matters a lot. RBU matters, right? Like the way they're two defensive ends, you know, two offensive tackles, that all that stuff, you know, high draft picks, all that stuff matters, you know, X number of draft picks in the last three recruiting classes, right? All of that stuff, I think, is part of it. I don't think this is, although, again, I want to affirm as a fan, I get what you're saying. It is. Whenever I hear somebody from around here, right, like the woman that won the won a field event, she went to school up until ninth grade in Hershey. And I was like, hey, that person's from around here. And I was immediately more interested. I'm sure it's the same way when, Rob, when you hear that there's a Penn State player on that level of an athlete in competition.
Andy, I like how you answered that because I agree with you. It's, we had the Olympics. We had the pommel horse guy who was the Penn Stater,
right?
Which was fantastic. We've got the Penn State wrestlers, which is fantastic. And I think there's even a little bit of, you know, on campus when you have, you know, the elite athletes, whether they're wrestlers or any other sport, that it's nice with the football players interact with them. They're, I think they have some pride in the school also. But you hit it. If you want to make a difference in recruiting, it's not going to be because you had a, you know, pommel horse guy. It's going to be because you've created this tradition of sending running backs to the NFL. You have a Saquon Barkley who shows up at a practice or talking to the guys. You have the legacy now of number 11.
Right.
All right. Do you want to be the next Micah Parsons? Do you want to be the next Abdul Carter? You see it now at tight end. It's every year they send someone, you know, to the league. So those are the things I agree with you, Andy, that are more important. Okay. We mentioned running backs. Let's go to Frank in Lewistown. Andy, who do you think will be the better NFL back? Nick Singleton or Catron Allen, and why?
Ooh, I think it will be Nick Singleton because he is – they're both – I think they're both NFL backs. I said that when we talked about the position – when I think they're both NFL backs. I said that when we were talking about Andy Kotelnicki earlier in the show. I'm like, look, he's got two NFL backs. I think there is a role at the NFL level – for Catron Allen. That's crystal clear. I think there's just a little more diversity in Nick Singleton's portfolio as a running back at the NFL level. I think he's just a little better in space. I think Catron Allen's better at finding a little bit of that space. If you melded it together and said, well, Nick Singleton had Catron Allen's ability to turn a 3-yard run into a 7-yard run. Those yards runs not would not be 7 yards. They'd be 12 and 15 and 18 yard runs, right? That's what he brings to the table. I just think he's a little bit more of a game breaker, right? But I still feel strongly that Catron Allen is an NFL running back, 100%. There is no doubt about it. But Frank, that's a really good question because that's sort of like, you know, it's comparing apples and oranges because they're kind of, there's a little similarity, but they're also both different. We talk about that at the quarterback position. These two running backs are kind of a little bit different. They're kind of, in very small ways, they're the same, but in the big ways, they're very different. That was a good question, Jimmy.
Andy, he'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was Landon who said he thought Catron Allen would be the better NFL back. But I'm with you. I think Nick Singleton he's going to show up so well at the combine, and someone's going to fall in love with some of the things he can do. But I don't know if you saw this. Feldman came out with his freaks list, and Nick Singleton was on it. Mm-hmm. He talked about his 4.35 40 and his ability to squat 655 pounds, which surpassed Saquon Barkley.
Right.
I want that guy on my team. So,
and never forget, when you're talking about these two running backs, their entire Penn State careers, they will be a timeshare. They're sharing the backfield. Never forget that when you're talking, you're going to look at numbers and what they are sharing the load completely.
What is interesting, though, Andy, is we did with Chris Buchanan, we did a show based on an article he wrote for the bloggy. And it was looking at the history of pairs of running backs, running back tandems in Penn State history, okay? Now, if you're an old-time fan like me, you want to talk about a pair of Penn State running backs, Franco Harris and Lydell Mitchell.
Right.
It's right there, okay? Yep. They were the greatest. The numbers show it. They both went to the NFL. Franco had a Hall of Fame career. Lydell Mitchell, he had an all-pro career. He was fantastic. What's interesting is Lydell Mitchell was the lead back of those two in college. Franco was drafted earlier and had the better NFL career. It will be interesting to see how that comes out. Now, Andy, you seem to like just segue for every next question. In your answer about the running backs, you mentioned the quarterbacks and how they're a bit different. Well, Mark from Ebensburg says, am I alone in thinking that the offense would actually run better with Bo Prabula? His threat to run the ball would open up so many things. Andy, what do you think?
So, Mark, you're wrong. It is a good there are the small things that I talked about earlier in when we talked about Drew Aller taking a step forward. The small things, the devil in the details that I want to see out of a quarterback one that I think help him in the big games. I think Bo Prabula already does all those things well. He has good command and control. He's confident. He knows exactly what's expected of him. He knows exactly what he wants to bring to the table. He just doesn't have a dynamic arm. That's it. He does not have Drew Aller's arm. And the two of them working in a little bit more of a tandem than we saw last year will present problems. Drew Aller on his own accord is still a tough quarterback to defend. I don't think over the course, if Bo Prabula is a starter after three or four games and you lay it down on tape, he's not going to be that hard of a quarterback to defend. He could hamper the offense a little bit because it's pretty crystal clear what he can and can't do as a passer. And I'm not knocking him. He was a freaking great high school quarterback. He took his team to district titles and did things that Central York had never done as a high school at some of the highest levels. Took him to a state championship game. He's just not as gifted as of a passer. And I think, yeah, his command and control and his sort of confidence and ability to have that little bit of swagger and bring that juice to it, it doesn't play over 60 minutes, Jimmy. It becomes easy to defend over 60 minutes. So that's the only reason I say you're wrong, Mark. But I think like the running backs, and I hope Andy Kotelnicki sees, I know he does. He'll see this and figure out a way to squeeze the juice from both of those lemons, right? Get the good juice out of both those lemons. Make it a sour taste in the opposing defense's mouth, because both bring something to the table that I think can help this offense.
You know, Andy, the way he words the question, will the offense run better? Maybe even if he used the word smoother. I think Bo Prabula style is the better fit for the offense, but it's not a better offense with him out there, because
third point,
Drew Aller just has a skill set that is the more important skill set for a quarterback, and that's the arm. And I, every time, you know, I see Drew Aller with an opening to run the ball, or, you know, I wish he could do those things, but he can't. But it's the sacrifice you need to make. With that said, Andy, I'm hoping this will be the last season for Drew Aller, that he'll have a big year. He'll go on to play on Sundays.
Yep.
I do want to see a year, though, where it's Bo Prabula's offense.
I want to see that as well. I don't agree with you. My one biggest takeaway is, and it is a good question, Mark, doesn't Bo Prabula always look like he's having fun when he's out there?
Oh, yeah.
Drew Aller needs to swallow whatever that juice is that Bo Prabula is drinking, the fun juice. Have some more of the fun juice, dude. He needs a little bit of more of that. He's a very serious and cerebral quarterback, but he needs a little bit more of the fun juice that Bo Prabula drinks, and bring that to the offense. We'll serve Penn State and his teammates greatly. And I'm not saying he's a grouchy old man like you and I, right? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying he needs a little bit more. of that fun juice in him.
I agree, Andy. Well put. That is it, though, for quarter three and Ask Andy. We got more to go with our concerns from the 24 season when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. And Andy, I'll tell you what, something that's become a tradition, and we've done it on our show together. We do it on the show with T. Frank, where we have Ask T. Frank, we have Ask Andy, and it's become tradition in quarter number four. We kind of extend what we talked about in quarter number three, and it's all my fault, okay? I'm the one to bring something up because I need to add a comment. I try to give you the last word, and I can't help myself, but at the end of quarter three, you said you're not calling Drew Aller a grumpy old man, but that's what you... like you and I are.
Right.
I can't argue with you about me. I don't think you're grumpy. Me, I'm grumpy. You're not. So.
Well, thank you. That's too good. I can be grumpy.
Well, yours is more occasional. Mine is more consistent, my grumpiness. All right, Andy, let's move on. Let's get back to our concerns for the season. I'm throwing out different issues at you. I want to see how concerned you are about it. Andy, last season, there were two exceptional tackles on this team, okay? They weren't just good. One of them was great, okay? And you are now moving both those tackles onto the NFL. How concerned are you about breaking in new tackles?
Yeah, I mean, it is a concern, right? It is. It'll start with lower expectations for this position, right? That's where you have to start, right? This is not two potential NFL tackles with some serious salt and pepper behind the ears. There, I use it again, Jimmy. That's not what you're going to have. So what we do know is from among the three that will potentially play at left tackle and right tackle on a regular basis, there's a very solid reason for optimism, not a hope for optimism, a reason for optimism. Now, will Drew Aller not have to worry about his backside in 2024 like he did in 2023? No, he needs to pay attention because Olu is not locking everything down back there. But Drew Shelton at left tackle, I've seen enough. He's laid enough film down. He's played enough, in my opinion. I feel comfortable and confident. He has the tools to be a competent and consistent starter. So when I break this down, the left tackle's on my scale, that's a one for me. The right tackle spot, that's a four. There is some talent there, but they're greenhorns all the way. In other words, they don't have enough salt and pepper behind the ears, Jimmy. So overall, I guess you could say I'm a 2.5 on the two new tackles overall, if you kind of average it out. I have very little concern at the left tackle position, although I already made it clear that isn't Olu out there. So Drew, you better be paying attention a little bit more. It's the right tackle spot and how that shakes out. That is where I think the rubber will meet the road in terms of breaking in these new tackles.
That's interesting, Andy. I'm kind of with you on this one, and it's based more on just how good they were last year. And now you're going from great to good, and that's a difference.
Lower your expectations, right? Have a realistic expectation, and that's the first step to success for these guys.
And I do like that now you have a more experienced guy at quarterback, where a year ago, I think that changeover in left tackle might have been more critical.
Absolutely.
Hopefully you've got a more mature guy at quarterback who can deal with it better, be aware of it. So I'm with you on that one. Let's go to, and in fact, this is what you, one, another one that you brought up, Andy. So let's hit it. Can the running backs be the centerpiece of the offense? Now, before you even answer, I'm going to fill in the blanks here before our listeners start saying, well, of course they can. There's two fantastic running backs. This is not a question of talent, is it, Andy?
No, no, this isn't a talent. Can they be the centerpiece of this offense? Can the two of them together be the centerpiece? That is, I think they're going to have to be, right? Based on what we know at the wide receiver position, this offense is kind of might have to be built around the running backs and the tight ends a little bit, at least to start, right? There are ways to do that. But, and based on what I know about OC Andy, this duo, to me, this duo running back feels like they are going to play a massive, massive role in defining the offensive narrative for Penn State in 2024. I think they have to become the centerpiece of this offense for this offense to be dynamic, right? I mean, remember, this duo, and some could argue, and you could say it, maybe they took a small step backwards as a combined in 2023 compared to 2022, but they still rushed for more than 1,650 yards. They had 14 touchdowns, rushing touchdowns. That number needs to be higher. That for them to do this, that number needs to be higher. But they also caught 40 balls for like 400 yards and three touchdowns. That is more than 2,000 yards and 17 touchdowns. They averaged a healthy combined 4.8 yards per carry in a year where that kind of felt like they took a step back. So are they poised to be the centerpiece? For me, they are the centerpiece of this offense. Healthy and whole, this is an unprecedented dynamic duo at a position. This is a little bit in Andy's wheelhouse for building an offense. It feels like they need to be the centerpiece, and can they become the centerpiece of this offense? So my concern on this is a two, because I don't think Andy wants to go away from them. Keep working harder to make them the centerpiece. And I think he will. I really believe he will.
Two things, Andy, in response to your answer. It was interesting you mentioned the 14 touchdowns last year, and it's got to be better. Do you know how many touchdowns combined Lydell Mitchell and Franco Harris had in their final season?
I do not.
Single season. Played only 11 games.
10?
32.
There you go. Different era, but yeah.
32 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And the other thing, and this is a recommendation for our listeners, because I just saw it this week, and I posted it on our website. I think it's on the app too. A link to Coach Caduti did a breakdown of the outside zone from Andy Kotelnicki. He had highlights from Kansas. And I recommend you watch it. It's on the For the Bloggy YouTube channel. You can link to it from our website or from our app. What I want you to do, it's about a 15-minute video, is as you watch the running backs in the video, just picture Nick Singleton or Catron Allen being the running back in that video.
Andy's got some mad scientists in what he can do and what he tries to get accomplished with running backs in an offense. And now he's got two elite ones to start that crazy sort of concoction with. I have a hard time seeing these two not being the centerpiece. And I think they're right. I think if you ask both of them, they'd say, yeah, we took a small step backwards last year. They were still extremely productive, but in non-developmental ways, overall, after the 2022 first look impact they had, yeah, it was a little bit, not much. I think they're going to be monsters this year. I really do. And now they got a guy stirring the drink that's got some mad scientists to him. Smells like Manny Diaz.
I think we're going to see some more big plays there, Andy. All right. Let's go to another one. Yep. A year ago, Andy, there were three, in fact, NFL cornerbacks I felt on this team. Three starting cornerbacks, if you're counting Daquan Hardy in the slot. which, by the way, I do. Okay. I counted him. And all three moved on. That instantly, I was concerned about that. But Andy, to James Franklin's credit, he backfilled with some transfer portal players. What's your level of concern at the cornerback position?
Yeah, so the question he asked was, will the new cornerbacks live up to their billing? So it's a good question, right? I do feel it's a good question. My only response would be, what is their billing, I asked you, JG, right? Like, that would be my question in retort. I don't think you can expect potential NFL draft pick caliber play from the jump. But I have full expectation that you are not in any way, shape, or form, or should have any expectation to see the bottom drop off here at all. They brought in two transfers, both of them from the SEC, by the way. And I see both of them playing a role. My billing is they are a solid strength of this defense more often than not as the season progresses. Terry Smith is an outstanding developer of talent at the position. And that comes into play for me when you're talking about the cornerbacks and their billing. That is why I think the answer is yes. They live up to a realistic billing. So therefore, Jimmy, my concern at the cornerback position based on that, it's a one. That's what it is, Jimmy. I stir it all up and I'm like, yeah, I'm not concerned about that. I don't see it.
I'm with you on this one, Andy. And again, I like to be fair. I feel like I'm critical of James Franklin when I need to be, and I'll go the other way when necessary, too. I'm complimenting him on how he played the transfer portal at cornerback. He brought in some real talent, and a Davis Collins is a guy they keep talking about, who I'm calling, he's like Johnny Dixon. When Johnny Dixon first came in the transfer portal, I said, why? Why did they bother doing it? Wait another season? I went, oh, that's why.
And guess who's an NFL player now? Johnny Dixon.
He had a really very good season last year, and it feels the exact same way here. Along with the two other guys coming in from the Southeast Conference. Don't forget Cam Miller. This feels a little bit like the offensive line does, Andy. You maybe lose some big-name guys, but there's enough depth, enough quality that I think they'll be just fine.
Plus, they have cover at safety. They've got some help back there, Jimmy, that's really, really special at that position. That is part of the equation as well. But yeah, Penn State fans, I don't think you're going to have to worry about your cornerback position. I really don't. Despite what you saw in the bowl game, I still thought Cam Miller played a good football game.
Really, really fast.
Yeah.
James Franklin seems concerned that they're traveling to the West Coast to play USC. Are you?
Yeah, they have one game where they have to go. No, it's a one for me, Jimmy. No. This could be an interesting game at USC, but no, I don't have a concern about it. Not at all.
And James, you shouldn't have to worry about it. A lot of teams travel coast to coast, and they do it more often than your team does. You're doing it once. Get over it. Andy, that's it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.